Our first reading this morning is from the book of Galatians, chapter 5. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The second reading is from Psalm chapter 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning.
For most of my life, I have had a deep love for music. I grew up in a pretty musical family. My grandmother's parents owned a music store in Dayton, Ohio. My grandfather, shortly after graduating from the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music, went and started working as a salesman for them in their store, and that's where he met my grandmother. And he continued as a professional musician in the Dayton area for years. My mom and all three of her sisters played instruments. One of them played professionally until she died. My brother, my sister, and I all took piano lessons growing up, sometimes to our chagrin, but we took them nonetheless. We eventually, you know, played in concert bands and orchestras, the whole thing. And I just have this love and appreciation for music and the way that it can just dig itself into our very beings. Like, without us even realizing, it just becomes a part of us. But with this appreciation comes a curse. See, the other side of this, the darker side of this coin, is this uncanny ability to get a phrase of a song or a couple lyrics, never the whole song, just a little snippet, and get it wedged into your brain so that there's nothing you can do to get rid of it, and just repeats itself over and over and over and over. And I'm honestly not sure who suffers more, me or the people around me, my wife and dear coworkers, who have to put up with me whistling or humming the same 4 to 5 notes over and over and over, because this music, it finds itself and just digs its way into our very being. I think all of us at some level can connect with this, right? I mean, Pastor Gary is famous for reminding us that no one leaves worship humming the sermon, right? We all leave humming the great tunes that we've sang. You're not going to walk out of here today humming my words back to me. No, you're going to be walking out, the joy of the Lord is my, right? That's where we're going to be going. Those are the words and the melodies and the tunes that will carry us through this week. That's what's going to bring us back in these doors next Sunday. Yes, this is the power of music. But it strikes me that it always seems to be the melody line that gets caught in our head, right? Very rarely, if ever, do we find people walking down the street humming our favorite bass line. We don't, you know, no offense to our very talented bassists, right? It's excellent, it's great, but we don't catch that. We don't often hear it even. We don't know that it's there. We just walk away taking these moments of celebration and joy, the high melodies, the lyrics, all these beautiful things that just capture our heart. And those are the pieces that we carry with us through the week. Now this morning we're continuing to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and today we get to talk about joy. And it occurs to me that when we think of joy, when we imagine moments of joy, I think we are talking about those melody lines. Those beautiful high points of music that capture our attention and draw us back again and again. Right, think about this with me for a moment. What are the places where you've experienced or witnessed joy in your life? And maybe it'll be tomorrow morning if you're lucky enough to be here with us, as 150 kids are going to pour into this room and see this incredible Vacation Bible School set for the first time, and their little bodies just can't contain the joy, and so they just start to shake and wiggle, and we hope that they find the restroom in time, right? This is the kind of joy that just has to pour out of them when they have this experience. Or maybe it's that joy of the wedding day when the couple gets to dedicate their lives to one another, saying, I'm going to love you forever. Maybe it's that time when you had a chance to take the morning hike to the top of the mountain and watch the sunrise. Or if you're like me, maybe it was when you took the evening hike and watched the sunset. But either way, right? That moment where you had the opportunity to witness something greater than ourselves, that literal mountaintop experience. Maybe it's something like this. Right? Even without sound, we know the joy that's happening there. We know the joy of getting to run across this field, 60,000 plus fans. You don't even care. You just get to see your mom, your daughter again. That joy. This feels like joy, right? But I have a theory. I don't have any research to back up this theory. I don't have any scientific proof of this. And at this point, I don't even have any theological proof. I just have my own witness, my experiences in the world and the stories that have been shared with me. But this is my theory. What if joy is in all of it? What if joy isn't just the melodies and the high notes and the lyrics and the celebrations and the soldiers coming home? What if joy is the bass notes and the grief and the sorrow and the struggle? What if joy is in all of it? Think about this famous piece of music for a moment. This will probably sound familiar if you've ever been to a wedding. This is Pachelbel's Canon in D. Do we have sound up there, gentlemen? This is less effective if we can't hear the sound. All right, that's all right. You guys know the Pachelbel's Canon in D. I'll hum it for you, right? We can do it that way. All right, so you've got 8 bass notes that repeat themselves over and over and over. Da, 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 right? You probably remember this. This sounds familiar. It goes on and on, unchanging throughout the entire piece. 8 quarter notes, those poor cellists. 8 quarter notes over and over, all the way through, steady and unchanging. But this is not what we know the song for. We don't know the Pachelbel's Canon for this bass line. No, we know it for the melodies. We know it for the violin solos and the viola solos, right? Sorry, you have to bear with me because that's the best we're going to get today. So it's not as good as it could be otherwise. But that's what we remember. Those are the things that get stuck in our brain. Those are the pieces that we look at and we say, that's the celebration. That's the moment of joy that we want to capture and hold on to. That's the wedding day, the soldier coming home. That's joy. But joy has to be bigger than that. Joy has to be bigger than just those mountaintop experiences, because God has promised that our joy comes with the morning. Those are the words of our psalm this morning, the psalm written by David, that pain, weeping, sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, David wrote these words as a prayer, as a future hope, asking God, begging God even, saying, please bring joy to my morning. We have been suffering. I have been suffering. My community, my country has been suffering. Please bring us joy in the morning. But we, with the benefit of hindsight, we get to look back knowing the end of the story. We get to remember that the sorrow did last for a night, not just for one night, but for 3 nights, until the women early in the morning on the first day of the week found their way to the tomb. And with the rising of the sun, their weeping was turned to joy as they bore witness to the resurrection. See, from our vantage point, getting to look back at the story, now seeing this not as a request for a future hope, but as a promise fulfilled, we get to look back and see joy even in something as tragic and hurtful and awful to imagine as the crucifixion. We can find joy in that, not because we're masochists who want to celebrate and elevate pain and violence, but because we look at that and say, this is my salvation. This is salvation not just for me and my community, but for the entire cosmos wrapped up in this moment. The joy, the struggle, the pain, it's all in that moment. Yeah, the joy is in all of it. See, we get ourselves caught up thinking that to have joy, we have to have the absence of other emotions, as if joy is the opposite of those things. But joy is not the opposite of sadness. Joy is not the opposite of struggle, and joy is not the opposite of pain. No, joy is just right there alongside of it. Joy is in the high notes, the melodies, the lyrics that get stuck in our head for days, and joy is in the bass notes. That steady, unchanging pattern moving us forward all the way to the end. Yeah, joy is in all of it. And you may well be asking yourself, as I've been asking myself this week, can he really be saying right now that I'm supposed to find joy in war? Am I supposed to find joy in hearing week after week about another school shooting? Am I supposed to find joy in the death of my loved one or in the suffering of my neighbors? Am I supposed to find joy in that? These moments in time, these events, they are not joy. I take no joy in violence. I take no joy in imagining having to talk to my 3-year-old about what to do in an active shooter situation. I take no joy in the suffering of my neighbors. Because there are some critical things that we have to understand joy is not. See, joy is not a set of blinders that we can put on to prevent us from seeing the pain and the suffering of the world around us. Joy is not a shield that we can bring down to protect us from the threat of any other tragedy that might strike us or someone we love. And joy is not a magical pill that allows us to experience only and always those wonderful highs and emotions of the melody line. No, joy is not that. But joy is present in all of it. Joy is present in the tragedy and in the sorrow and in the suffering. Joy is present in the cancer and in the Alzheimer's and in the sudden surgeries. Joy is present in the hunger and in the homelessness and the job loss. Joy is present in all of those places because we, gathered people of God, we get to carry the promise of the resurrection with us everywhere we go, so that even in the midst of our darkest night, we carry the joy that comes with the morning. We get to be the bearers of this fruit of the Spirit for the world. Yeah, because joy is in all of it. Now there will be days, weeks, months, even years perhaps, where you look around and you say, I don't see the joy of the Lord. I don't see joy in my life right now. I don't see joy in the life of my neighbor. And friends, the fruit of the Spirit grows slowly, too slowly sometimes. And there may be even moments where you look back years and decades later and say, I still cannot look at this and see what joy I was supposed to find in my divorce. I still can't look at this and see what joy I was supposed to see in the death of my loved one or in the accident of my child or in the job loss of my parents. I still cannot look back on that and see joy. But my friends, even if we do not see it or hear it, even if all we can ever remember is the melody line, the bass has been there all along, steady, unchanging, making the melodies higher and brighter, holding us together when the rhythm is falling apart, moving us ever towards that completion that God has promised each of us, that we would join in that final joy celebrated at God's table. Yeah, that's the bass line. Da. Da, da, da. Yeah. Friends, joy is in all of it. God loves each of you, and I do too.